Our Bible reading today is from Mark chapter 4. It's Jesus calming the storm. Three questions I want you to think about as I'm reading. Who initiates the journey? What happens along the journey? And what does this tell us about Jesus? That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Welcome. Is anybody afraid of anything? What are you afraid of? Spiders? I'm there with you on that one. Anything else? Snakes? Yeah? Chair breaking down, lack of mobility? Anything else? Say it like mice? Heights. Yep. Do you know what the number one fear of most people is? It's public speaking. It's not death. It's not snakes. It's not it's public speaking. I still get that little nervousness every time I stand up in front of people, because there's a sense that people who listen are also judging. It's a hard thing. But Jesus asked the question to us not about public speech, although that may come later in the disciples' journey. Why are you so afraid? What are you afraid of? Why are you so afraid if I am with you? It's the human predicament, isn't it? So today, in our Bible story, we encounter this Jesus who asked this question, and often we're probably awed. Another word for that word at the end, terrified, is overawed by Jesus. We're awed by the miracle. We're awed by Jesus who speaks to waves who must have ears, speaks to the wind which must listen. And yet we sometimes forget that some of the most important part of the story comes in the details beforehand. We're going to look at the details today. So if you have your Bibles with you today, you can open up to Mark chapter 4. If you're watching with us online, go ahead and open up to chapter 4. And we're starting at verse 35. Jesus calms the storm. We fixate on this miracle, but the details fix us in the story. It's human and raw, and it expresses the complexity of who Jesus is, who speaks to these people. So on that day when the evening had come, is this working? On that day when evening had come, he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." Let us go. What's the most important of those three words? Us. Jesus proves a little bit later on that he doesn't really need the disciples to cross the sea. He can perfectly well just walk across the water himself. But he says, let us go. Now Jesus invites, or he's already in the boat, he invites the disciples along on the journey. He invites them to a place perhaps that they don't really want to go. It's easy to say in the safety on this side of the lake. It's easy to stay with your own people. It's easier to stay with the adoring crowds, but to go to the other side of the lake where the Gentiles live, into the unknown, into the place that's kind of scary, frightening. This is where Jesus says, let us go to the other side of the sea. What does the sea represent for the ancient Hebrew mind? It's the opening to the underworld. It's the place of chaos. I mean, we can pretty much assume that most people weren't great swimmers back in those days, and even those who were fishermen weren't able to overcome their fear of this place. And now they're going out there at night. It's one thing to go out there in the day and you can see the shore and you can perhaps catch a glimpse and not have seasickness. But to go out there at night when you can't see where you've come from, where you can't see where you're going, and if you believe that this is the place of chaos and even the underworld, the moment things get rough, that's not a place that you want to be. Let's go out onto this sea. Let us go to the other side, where those other kind of people are. So they left the crowd. It's hard for us to understand why they would leave the adoring crowds. I mean, that's the definition of success for a successful church, is when the crowds come. A definition of a success for any place is when there's lots of people there following the crows or whatever the other team is. I don't know. Fremantle Dockers, I guess. It's hard for us to imagine that Jesus would leave his popularity and go to a place where he could be relatively unpopular. And yet he does. Those voices were raised in praise. They had been for quite a while. Jesus has been telling them stories. Jesus has been spending a lot of time, and we get this feeling that Jesus is just exhausted by this adulation. Tired. I don't think he's tired of it, but he knows there's a bigger picture to be seen. So Jesus leaves these crowds that needed him, but the ones who hadn't yet met him needed him more. So he left his clique, the people he normally hung around with, and went to the unknown. This is the one I missed last time. There were other boats with him. Did you notice that as we read this? So they left the crowd, took him along since he was in the boat. And the other boats, there were other boats with them. I have often missed this. We imagine that the disciples are all crammed into a little tinny, stuffed in there, rowing madly across the lake to get there as fast as they can because they don't want to get caught in the middle. But others are there with them. Whether the disciples are split up into a couple of boats, they can't all fit into one, or maybe people want to see what Jesus is going to do, so they hop into their own boats and they row with him. They want to see what Jesus will do. What's going on in their minds as they watch and follow from a distance? What do people see from those who are in the same boat with Jesus? And as they go, a great windstorm arises. The waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. Out of nowhere, chaos turns chaotic. The boat that they thought was a safe place no longer is. And the vehicle for which is supposed to take them to the other side now becomes a place what seems like death. Have you ever been in this place before? In chaos, life turns chaotic. Maybe you're in it right now. Maybe you're in that boat sailing across the chaos of the world, being buffeted by winds that you just can't figure out. It feels like your boat, our boat, just like their boat, was being swamped, was being blown over by the winds. The waves crash over the edge of the boat. Water swirls around their feet. The wind tips them over. It's hard to stand. And they regret, perhaps not for the first time, not for the last time, leaving the safety of the shore to perish in the worst possible way. But just as always, throughout the entire Bible, anytime you encounter this water, this perfect metaphor for changing lives, when life gets turbulent, sometimes the water is the only place to turn. We as Christians recognize this baptismal moment, that we drown daily with Christ and arise daily with Christ. But in the midst of the chaos, it's hard, isn't it? So the disciples notice he's sleeping. Anybody ever slept through a storm before? Not me. But in a boat. Sometimes we wonder if Jesus isn't asleep on the job. Sometimes I ask the question, what are you doing? Don't you care? Does anyone ask these questions, or am I the only one? Don't you care about our suffering? Don't you care about our fear, Jesus? Don't you care about our pain? Don't you care that death seems to be closing in on us every day? Teacher, this is not fun. Wake up! In the echoes of 2021, in the chaos, it feels like we're drowning in fear and anger, malice, all the seven deadly sins. The world is crashing against the ship. The winds of secularism threaten to push us over. And we still fear. Yes, we do. Jesus, we demand, wake up. We're drowning in this. Just wake up. So Jesus does. He not only wakes up, but he gets up. I don't know. I wish I could have been there, not in the boat, maybe just hovering over it or maybe seeing it on video. He unfurls himself, stands up. He speaks to the wind. Be quiet. And he says to the waves, be calm. Don't you wish you could do that? He spoke to the sea. And there was great calm in the chaos. There was great peace over the place that they thought was death. Peace for their boat. Peace for the boats around them. Imagine watching from a distance. Imagine you watching from a distance as Jesus just speaks words. But then he speaks the same words to the disciples. Shh. Be calm. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Many of us have been coming to this place for years. Many of us have been coming to any place of worship for years. And yet we still are afraid. That's where we come to this upside down boat. Often when you go to a church, it looks like a capsized boat with the beams on the ceilings. And we come here every week and we want to be reminded that Jesus is in our boat. And he can speak to your fear and your chaos and say, silence. And when he asks the question, why do you still doubt? Do you still not have any faith? I know I sometimes respond, it's so hard. And then they're filled with awe. Where Jesus is, we want to be. Because his very presence is powerful. It's powerful enough to calm any storm in your life and my life in this world. Where Jesus is, there is peace. And even though we don't understand how it works, even though we sometimes don't even understand who Jesus is or what Jesus did or how he does it, it doesn't matter. Jesus is with you in whatever storm there is. So what does this mean for us today? What does your boat look like? You know, the hardest part about being part of a church is that we like to stay on the safe side of the shore. Churches often love the crowds. They love to draw people in as the crowds, but more often than not, we're afraid to sail the boat across to the unknown through the chaos. And the most miraculous part of this journey that Jesus takes the disciples on is they went across the lake to see one person. One Gentile, one demon-possessed man chained in the graveyards. Not to go to the crowds, not to be popular on the other side of the lake, even though that would come. He went to see one person, and he wanted to take all of the disciples with him, because even one person is important in Jesus' eyes. One person who has been outcast and ostracized and chained to death, that one person is important. And every church's mission should be to get in the boat, cross the chaos with Jesus for even just one person. Do you get it? Let's stop worrying about the crowds, how many people we get into this place, even though that's a wonderful reminder of how we can worship Jesus. But let's get in the boat. Let's cross the chaos, even today, even for just one person. Why are we so afraid to do this as Christians? Do we still have little faith? Here's my encouragement this week. This is hard. It's sometimes easy to gather in this place and maybe meet with our clique of friends. Might be easy to talk about the easy things. But maybe this is the moment when we ride in our boats with Jesus to the place that he sent us. Into the malls, into the marketplaces, on the streets. And help and speak the words. Overcome our fear of public speaking and say, you are important in God's eyes. Maybe just one person will come to know. One person that's been chained to death. And they will find new life because you are not afraid to cross the sea, the chaotic sea, with Jesus in your boat. Amen. Let's pray. Let us not be afraid, Jesus Christ. We know that you are awake, you're alive, and you are right here with us in the midst of this chaos. Give us a foretaste of the beauty of seeing people's lives turn to you. And as a community, as we leave the crowds and as we gather into the boat, And we cross to the unknown. Show us those who need to know you. Help us not to be afraid. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.